Well, good morning, Potters. Happy Sunday to you. Pastor Greg coming to you from my office. And I want to encourage you this morning with a sermon out of Matthew, where we find ourselves studying on Sundays. So if you have a minute, turn to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. So this morning, I want to talk about this idea that I'm sure you've heard over and over and over again in your Christian walk, if you've walked with God for any period of time. I think that a lot of us know that God really desires our heart. And what I mean by that is that I think most of us do an okay job, you know, doing the service to God, doing the things that he requires us to do. I think that we got that down. But I think that where we miss God is we miss him with that relationship, that love relationship that really happens when we cultivate our relationship with God through time. And I think that for the most part, as human beings, we're really good, or maybe not really good, but we're better at that with somebody that we can converse with and see and touch and hear. When it comes to God, it's very difficult because there's this sense that he's far off, right? So before we get to our text this morning, I want you to understand a little bit about mercy when God says, I desire mercy over sacrifice. In Hosea 6:6, it's really the basis that the prophet is sort of giving instruction to Israel. And again, the first time is really in the giving of the law in Deuteronomy, where God says, I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. So why does God desire love and knowledge of him instead of burnt offerings? In other words, burnt offerings are another picture of us doing stuff for God. So the key to understanding this is really understanding this prayer, which is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, and it's the Shema. And that word Shema in Hebrew is really, it's a Jewish prayer, and it reads, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So love for God was the number one priority for all the people of Israel, right? The whole law, including the offerings and the sacrifices, was to serve as an expression of this love. But God's intention was all of that service came from a heart of love. Now, we know that in the time of Jesus, that wasn't necessarily the case. There had been many years where there was sort of a spiritual silence that fell on Israel, and they were just kind of going through the motions. When Jesus arrived on the scene, he said things like, you know, that you're a brood of vipers, and he judged them for the attitude that they have. He said that when he looked upon the people, they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so our text this morning, we're going to read about really two different instances where people were questioning Jesus about the things that he was doing. And really, it's an opportunity to show the difference between trying to love God with things that you do versus love God with the heart that we're supposed to offer to him. So our text this morning, Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, it says, At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. He and his disciples were hungry, and he began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. He answered, Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath, on Sabbath duty in the temple, desecrate the Sabbath, and yet they are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had not known what these words meant, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And he said to them, if any of you has a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And so the man stretched out his hand, and it was completely restored, just as it was like the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Father, add blessing to your word this morning as we study. And church, I just want to remind you that our goal today is to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth, and that is you, and that is me, and that is our motivation. So, in observing a couple things here, I think the first question, the first questionable thing that Jesus did was pick the grain on the Sabbath. And the response from the Pharisees was judgment, right? This is unlawful. And I just want you to understand a little bit about the Pharisees. They were, remember, they were the kind of people that added to the law as they saw fit, and they had no problem putting in more observances, right, and adding on deeds than really falling in love with God through a relationship. And I think that if you look at the response that Jesus gives them, he mentions David, because he knew that David had to be, Moses and David were foremost in the minds of the Israelites, somebody that they could really understand. And he said, well, look at David. He ate the consecrated bread that was meant for the priests. And Jesus responds again, and the priests that serve in the temple, and they do so on the Sabbath, and how come they don't desecrate it? And so what Jesus is doing is he's making a point here. And the point is that their judgment of him was ridiculous, because obviously he states David and his men and the priests that serve. And then we talk about the significance of the Messiah. So he says the reason why this is lawful is because there is one greater here than the temple. So the significance of the Messiah was that Jesus was greater than the temple, that Jesus was greater than the system, right? And Jesus was greater than the Sabbath. So the central lesson for this whole particular passage is in verse 7. It says, if you had known what these words meant. In other words, they had no clue what the very essence of Judaism was. Had they known that, they wouldn't have judged. He said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You would have not condemned the innocent. And again, in Hosea 6:6, Jesus was identifying the need for improper interpretation of the word of God. Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath, and they were missing the whole point, completely missing the whole point. So the next thing is we see a trap set for Jesus, and this isn't the first trap. This is one of many traps that the Pharisees and the Sadducees would set for Jesus, and this is a physical need on the Sabbath. And so Jesus, you know, he's in the temple area, and they come up, and they ask him, hey, man, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And Jesus responds with a question. He says, if a sheep has need of you on the Sabbath, in other words, falls into a ditch, needs your help, aren't you going to help them? And how much more valuable are humans that are created in God's image to God rather than a sheep? And I have to tell you, I think the reason why Jesus said this was extremely important for the time in which he said it. But I'm telling you, it bears more weight today because of this love that we have for our pets. Now, I'm not suggesting one bit that we should have, you know, that we should not treat our pets well. I think we should. I think we should be responsible pet owners and never neglect an animal ever. I have a dog myself, and he's treated like a king. However, he's not the people of my family. He's part of my family in that he's an animal, but he's not my family because he was not created in God's image. He does not have a soul. I can't treat that dog better than I do people. However, I guarantee you that anybody listening to me now knows of somebody that is closer to animals than they are with people, and they have a higher regard for animals than they do people. You know, guys, we walk by homeless people every day. Sometimes we walk over them, and we see their plight, and we see you know, thousands of babies being aborted every day, and nobody says a word about it. Nobody does nothing. But, oh my gosh, if there's a dog that's cold, the world has to stop, right? And I think Jesus was saying here, look, yes, the sheep are valuable, but if one falls in the ditch, you get it. And but why wouldn't I heal on the Sabbath? Why wouldn't I take care of a man who was created in the image of God? So he concludes it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And the trap that turned out, you know, to trap Jesus was a blessing to this man because he had his hand restored. So the motivation of the Pharisees is revealed that they wanted to kill Jesus. That's all they wanted to do. That's it. They wanted to trap him. They wanted to kill him. And that was their heart, right? So let's interpret. So the problem with sacrifice, over time, you know, we know the Israelites began to worship other gods while they were continuing the ritual of sacrifices. They obeyed the law, yet they did not display the love toward God, and they did not truly know him. At one point in time, God says in the scripture, look, I want you to stop singing, stop making praise to me, because it's making me physically ill. Because yes, you're doing your part by doing, but you're not in love with me because you're not obeying me. You're missing the heart connection. Hosea 6:6 message was a response to Israel's hypocrisy, you see. And it was completely hypocrisy. God, in his love, he desires that their love be, you know, over external practices of the law. He longs for people to long for him. That's God. That is the heart of God. He longed for people who would be willing to long for him rather than simply continue in a religious tradition. Now, here's the problem. The problem with sacrifice is that when we're doing it, we feel that we're scoring points with God. We feel like we're measuring up. We're feeling like we're doing our part. But all along, it's God's desire to have relationship with you. That is a love relationship that's vertical between man and God, and it's not circumstantial. It doesn't come from the doing. It comes from the experiencing God in our life in a very practical way. Jesus said it best when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But if I go to prepare a place for you, when I complete it, I will come again and receive you into myself that you may be where I am. The heart of the Father, the heart of Jesus, was to spend eternity with his people, to love them. And remember, when we were at enmity with God, when we were at war with him, he sent his son to die for us. He longs for people who long for him. It's simply stated. So the second thing here is that God's mercy changes our hearts. That's what it does. And when he says, I desire mercy over sacrifice, scripture often notes that sacrifices to God are incomplete and even offensive without a changed heart that loves and knows the Lord. 1 Samuel says in chapter 15, 22, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to sacrifice and to listen. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. The same is said of other religious rituals and even that of circumcision. Remember, the Romans says that if you're a Jew, you're not one merely on the outside. You have to be one on the outside and on the inside. And he says it here, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And we have to remember that. Circumcision is circumcision of the heart. So let's talk about the heart of a Pharisee. That's the third point in really determining what this text means. Jesus would later use Hosea's teaching against the hypocritical Pharisees, saying, go and learn, right? Go and learn what this means. Go figure it out. That's what we're doing now. We're studying to show thyself approved. We're going and learning. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I came to call the righteous. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners, he says in Matthew chapter 9. We studied that. So without a loving relationship with God, all the rituals practiced in the world cannot help a Pharisee. Their response to Jesus allows us to see their true heart. Actions reveal motivation. Let me say that again. Our actions reveal our motivation. If our motivation is to just do, but not be in love with God, then that's going to reveal a heart that wants to be connected to God, but only in what we do and not in the love, not in the mercy relationship that God has. When he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, God desires that mercy to be poured out, that he loved us when we were unlovable and he died for us when we were not worth anything. That's the mercy relationship that we need to engage in with God, and oftentimes we don't, and that's a problem. So this morning, there's some application here, and you know, my first question to you and to me, especially to me, I think, is what about the Pharisee and me? You know, with the coming of Jesus Christ, the law was fulfilled, according to Matthew chapter 5:17, and as a result, Christians have no command to obey the Jewish Old Testament ceremonial laws. However, the principle of Hosea 6:6 is still relevant because many religious people participate in Christian rituals, yet their hearts do not love God and seek God, or they don't want to know him in that way. And those of us who practice empty rituals should really pay attention to the words of Hosea here. This is a problem, guys. You see, that Pharisee is in us, and we are judgmental people, and we are the ones running around with a plank in our eye, and we are the ones that, you know, have no problem trying to get to God by doing the things, by going to church, by doing the ministry. But when I talk to you about connection, when I talk to you about prayer and fasting and worship, things that cultivate a relationship with God, you're not interested in that. I'm not talking about corporate worship. I'm talking about your own personal worship. It's easy to corporate worship. But I've always tried to instruct you guys that, you know, church is secondary. A relationship with Jesus is primary, especially when he's given us access to his throne. And we have this merciful relationship that we're engaged in. Why would you overlook that? He said, if you're in sin, come to me. Last week, we just heard, come to me, all you who are heavy and burdened, and I'll give you rest and learn from me. This is what he's pointing out here, is that these Pharisees, all they wanted to do was connect with God by doing and not by loving. And they were judgmental of Jesus every time that he tried to do that. Remember, guys, the center focus here is Jesus, and the Pharisees did not see that. They saw the central focus was to obey God's word. They didn't know that they were in the midst of God's word, the word that became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They missed it. So the key is mercy. Not our mercy, God's mercy. God cares more about our heart's love for him than the things that we do in his name. Let me repeat that. God cares more about our heart and its love for him than the things that we do in his name. We must not substitute religious traditions for a relationship with God. May we never be like those whom Jesus described. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, Mark 7:6. We don't want to be that, ever, 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 ever. If you this morning are struggling in your relationship with God because you have the service part down, but you're missing the love part, that comes through devotion, that comes through personal worship, that comes through developing a relationship with him by praying without ceasing, right? You're connected with God. It just doesn't come through, you know, what you do at church or when you get to church that it starts. It's not a plug-in, plug-out kind of thing. It's an everyday building that intimacy with God. And one of the ways that we do that is understanding that we are in a merciful relationship with God and that he loves us, not because of what we've done, but because of who we are. We're his kids. Amen? So if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, but what you've heard this morning is enticing, then go to the next level. Go to the next step. I challenge you. Make Jesus Christ your Savior today, and you can do that by confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in your heart that he rose again for you and died for you and was a sacrifice for you. And if you believe that, he will come into you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll seal you with the Holy Spirit, give you the gifts of the Spirit, give you the fruits of the Spirit, give you all the wisdom that you need, and completely change your life. And you will develop a love for God's people and, more importantly, a love for him. And don't let church ruin that. If you made that decision, find the phone number on our website and give us a call. We would love to hear about the decision that you made so that we may rejoice with you. If you listen regularly and you're saved, he has shown you, man and woman and me, what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. I pray that you do that now. God bless you guys.